Welcome back to All Things Armenian. This is Professor Barla Dermagerdichian. My guest today is Dr. Carla Garabedian. Welcome back, Carla.
Hello.
And we were talking before the break about the Armenian Film Foundation, your involvement in it, and you're currently working with two projects, ongoing projects. One is the Leslie Davis photo collection. Tell us a little bit about that project.
You know, when Michael was making the film about Harpert, Voices from the Lake, he had contact with an American diplomat's family, Consul Leslie Davis's. His family is in Rhode Island, and they had some amazing photographs. Now, some of these photographs were included in a book called The Slaughterhouse Province, and some of your listeners might even know about this book. It was published in the late 80s. And it's the report that Consul Davis made to the U.S. State Department, his eyewitness report on the massacres he saw at Lake Golchuk. It's quite an account. And in that book is also a set of photographs taken by Consul Davis. So the story of the photographs has always been something of a mystery. And long story short, Michael Hagopian really wanted to get the entire collection of photographs. But the entire collection of photographs were missing. And the family, the Davis family, knew that a good number of the photographs were with a Greek publisher. The Greek publisher, for one reason or another, was not giving these photographs back. And for about 25 years, nothing happened. And one day in 2015, this was after Michael Hagopian died, I was working on the film The Promise, and was before I was about to fly out to Spain where we were filming, I suddenly got this overwhelming feeling that I needed to go back to the family and that we needed to try to get that collection back from the Greek publisher. And I don't know what it was. I think, you know, the idea that time is passing, that what happens if our contact in the Davis family, we lose that contact with her, she was getting up there in age, and I just thought I have to do this. And so, for some reason, we were able to get a positive answer from the Greek publisher after 25 years, and I flew to Greece, to Athens from Spain, from the set of The Promise. I flew to Athens and retrieved these photographs and brought them back to the United States, and since then, we have been scanning, cataloging, trying to understand them, and most of them are not genocide photos, but they are pictures of what was going on in Ottoman Turkish life while Consul Davis was in Harpert. Everyday pictures, people doing things, lots of horse carts, lots of, you know, occupations, people living rough, not just Armenians, but Kurds. Fascinating photos. So my idea is to have a kind of multimedia exhibition once we have these completely scanned and curated and we understand what they are. But they are really a find. And what it says more generally is that even though over 100 years has passed since the genocide began, we are still finding things. We are still finding treasures. And if anybody has an attic or a couple of boxes that they are tempted to throw out before they look through them, don't do that, because you never know what you're going to find. And we're of the generation, that kind of crossover generation, where after us, all of those boxes are probably going to be thrown out. So we have to be responsible for, I'm saying this with my kind of bossy hat on, but I feel so strongly about it. We really have to be careful about what we discard and get rid of. For all, you know, the Davis family, as helpful as they have been, you know, there were lots of boxes of things they didn't know exactly what it meant. And when we went through everything, we saw there were the other materials. There were letters. So there was also a person from Fresno named Sarah Bedrosian, who was the daughter of Garabed Bedrosian, who was the bodyguard to Consul Davis. And Sarah Bedrosian had a set of letters that have become documentary evidence and part of that relationship about, you know, between Consul Davis and his bodyguard that helps to tell the story. And if she had thrown out her stuff, we would have been nowhere. So thankfully, that material is in the Harvard Library, and anybody who wants to, you can look it up digitally, the correspondence that Sarah Bedrosian has of her father and Consul Davis. But I'm excited about this because it's new, but it's old. It's all that old stuff we've been looking for. We didn't know where it was. And it reveals a world that is so clear and so fascinating, the detail of what Consul Davis, the photographs he took. He really had an eye, and he was interested in people, and it shows in his work.
And then you're also involved with the visual history archive of the Shoah Foundation at USC, and that includes now the collections from Richard Hovhannisyan and also Michael Hagopian. Tell us a little bit about what's there and what's the process, what's going on.
The Visual History Archive now has what they call the Armenian Genocide Collection. So the Armenian Genocide Collection includes the Armenian Film Foundation collection that has Michael Hagopian's genocide interviews, and then it is, as it's slowly being digitized, it has Richard Hovhannisyan's collection of audio testimonies. And I think your listeners, or some of your listeners, will remember when Richard and his team of students interviewed a lot of survivors. And the difference between those interviews and the Hagopian interviews is that they're full life stories. So it's not just the genocide experience, it's the experience of coming to America and the experience of being an immigrant. So the Hovhannisyan collection is in the process of being digitized, and there will be transcripts of that. That will also be searchable. And Manuk Avadikyan, who is the person at the Shoah Foundation working on them, we talk every so often, and he will give me a nugget from any one of these interviews. And he will be so excited about what he's learned, and then we'll exchange. And he found one of my relatives and talk. One of my relatives was the subject of an interview with Kartosian. And so he told me about it. So it's these things which, again, the theme of so much time has passed, but we are still learning things. And the information is important because apart from the personal stories, we learn the granular detail of these people's journeys and what happened to them and where they were when certain things happened. You know, the relationship between things during the genocide, the geography of genocide, so important. And these stories are just priceless. So I'm very excited about that.
We were talking about the promise, and I had asked you a little bit about your involvement in it. I also want to kind of talk to you about the impact, because I know that's that some people would say that, of course, there were so many expectations that this movie, which was expected to open on the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, was going to be some sort of blockbuster, you know, Armenian Genocide, tell all, this is the movie. But what do you think about all that in terms of what you thought would be the outcome of this movie?
I would like to think that the movie had its ripple effects, you know, that it's that stone you throw in the water, that one person tells another. It was shown, you know, on the airplanes, and it was shown, you know, all over the place. So I think that there's a little cadre of people out there in the world who now know about it. And for that, I'm proud.
And I think that's interesting, your comment about the questions, because I was asked to actually go to Scottsdale, Arizona, when The Promise was premiered in Scottsdale. And I actually spoke to the audience after the film. And there were a lot of questions, both from Armenians and non-Armenians. So I think you're right in that movies do have a life outside just that initial showing in the theater. And certainly The Promise will have a long-lasting impact. I want to talk about some of your current projects, and you mentioned one of them a little bit earlier in the show. It's the movie Nemesis. I take it that's a sort of a temporary name, but it's going to be filming to coincide with next year's 100th anniversary of the shooting of Talat Pasha in Berlin. That's 1921. Tell us a little bit about the movie, your involvement, screenwriting, other things.
Well, the project, the Nemesis movie, is something that I've been working on for, let's say, since 2009. Right after Screamers, I went to the Hamburg Film Festival, and there were people in the audience, obviously Germans, because I was in Hamburg. We were talking about Screamers, and one of the people, well, she was like 17. She said, "I just don't know what I can do to stop this from happening again. What kind of responsibility do I have?" And it was said in a very sincere way. And my answer to her was, your obligation is to not forget what happened. And she wasn't entirely satisfied with that answer. And we went on to talk about how the interwar period, the years leading up to the Second World War, the rise of Nazism, it was not really discussed a lot in Germany. It wasn't part of their educational curriculum, and it's not something that's really, at that time, was not part of their popular culture. There wasn't a lot of movies about it. There weren't a lot of books. And so suddenly you have, you know, Nazism and everything that comes after, but what led up to it? So I decided I wanted to make my next movie about that period. And for me, the trial of Soloman Talarian is fascinating in so many ways. Not necessarily for the most obvious one, that Armenians had somebody who resisted, fought back, and basically, you know, took down the chief perpetrator of the Armenian Genocide. That's the obvious interest. The other parts of it, to me, I found fascinating were that this was a German trial, that there were German lawyers, German jury, German judge. There was an environment of immediately after the First World War, you have Germany in defeat. They're trying to decide what kind of democracy they're going to be, and they're struggling. And the trial takes place in that context. I was a close friend of Varkas Yegiayan, the lawyer Varkas Yegiayan, who wrote the book about the trial, the translation of the transcript, and we would often talk about Talarian. He met Talarian when he came to the United States, and we would talk about him as a person and how the events affected him. So I thought, well, you know, there's something to this, but, you know, there's a part of the story that most people don't even think about, which is this German point of view, that this was a trial about a genocide 12 years before Hitler came to power. So from that perspective, you know, with Germany, you know, making decisions about which way they were going to go as a country, how much they wanted to look at their role in a genocide during the First World War, how much they were complicit in it. And when you look at who was supposed to testify in that trial and who did not testify in that trial at the last minute, there's a certain element of political cover-up. When you see how many people were not allowed to testify who would have shown the full role of Germany during the Armenian Genocide, which comes up in the trial, then you see, well, the trial is about a lot more than just about the shooting of Talat Pasha in Berlin. It's a kind of warning sign in history. At least that's how I'm telling it.
And
so, so telling it for also a German audience and also telling it for a world audience, not just for an Armenian audience, similar to what we try to do in The Promise, is to widen it out to people who do not know the story, but telling a story in a different way that might appeal to them.
And the script was, you said you were writing about this after Screamers.
Yes.
And once you kind of developed it, did you begin to think about who's going to produce it and who's going to fund it and all of those things? And how did that come about?
Well, the research actually was getting into the police files in Berlin, which actually had been not accessible before reunification. Once Germany reunified, some of those police files were accessible again. So finding out the detail of, you know, what actually happened, that took a little bit of time. And then the actual financing of the project, and we've had some monies from France and Germany, and we're in the process of finishing the finance. We're pretty close. But the hope is that we will be filming it next year. So there's, as I'm always a producer-director insofar as I produce the things that I direct, I write the things that I direct, and I think that there's an element of you have to do a certain amount of fundraising. And for this, I think for the last piece of it, because we've raised most of the finance for the last piece of it, we're looking for a person who really is an enthusiast of this story. And thankfully, we had the book by Eric Bogosian was it 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 3 years ago,
yes.
Operation Nemesis. A lot of people learned about the events through that book. So the person may not be Armenian, who is our last piece of the financial puzzle, but we're getting close. And I think the pandemic, in a weird way, I should have been making the film this year, but it didn't happen. If I had been, you know, intending to make the film this year and we were all ready to go, I would have been caught up with it. And there are so many productions that have been canceled, so many people whose dreams have been shattered because of this. I know it's a small beer compared to the death and destruction that's, you know, come to families. I mean, that's the bigger picture. But for people who are working in the film business, it's still, it's devastating for people who have been, you know, planning for years to get their films into production, and now we all have to wait.
And in the case of this film, how do you see the promotion in the United States? I mean, what kind of a niche does it fill, or where would you promote it? Where would you hope it would get picked up?
It's what I would call crime drama, and crime drama that it's period crime drama, but it's crime drama insofar as, you know, you have that grammar of the crime drama, the murder, the investigation, and the trial. In this case, the murder happens and fairly quickly. The investigation it's through the lawyer's point of view. So the lawyer is also, a lot of people don't know very much about the German lawyers, so I had to do a lot of research on the German lawyers. And the one that I focused on happened to be a very progressive Jewish lawyer who was under threat from the extreme right-wing thugs who were to become Nazis later in time. But at that time, in 1920, 1921, these guys were roaming the streets and picking on people like this lawyer who was very progressive, defending liberal causes. So at the time that he's defending Talarian, he's having his own personal problems in dealing with these guys who are causing him a lot of trouble. And he doesn't, of course, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen when the Nazis came to power. But at the same time, you could see, you know, this lawyer can see. He actually, in real life, he actually predicted that the Nazis would come to power in 1922. He said 10 years from now, they're going to be in power, which was an astonishing thing to say in 1922.
Yeah, it is.
But he was, he's an interesting guy. So I think the challenges, it's straight crime drama, it's period crime drama, but told in a kind of, you know, Quentin Tarantino has done us so many favors because he likes to take the music from different genres and mix it up and put it on, you know, the Inglourious Basterds, for those of your viewers who saw that film, to play Western music, you know, mm-hmm. when, you know, a Nazi is about to shoot somebody. I mean, it's crazy how he would mix things up like that. But he taught us that that's what you can do. We live in a postmodern world, and our younger audiences expect us to have that kind of take on the way that we're telling the stories and how we are, you know, how we're showing drama and conflict.
And so, you're also,
that's how it will be told.
Yeah, and you're also, we just have a couple minutes left, but you're also working on adapting Peter Balakian's The Black Dog of Fate, which was a well-known sort of autobiography of his own coming to terms with the genocide. So tell us very briefly about that project.
Well, I have to say that for anybody who has not read The Black Dog of Fate, go out and buy it, or, you know, order it from Amazon online, or you can even on some applications read it for free. And make sure you get the second edition, because Peter Balakian went to Syria, and there are two new chapters in the second edition, or the annotated edition. It's the best read. It's so interesting. And you know, adapting it as a movie has been a challenge because there are just so many great moments in that book. It's a matter of, you know, choosing ones and distilling it. Very, very hard to do. But at the basis of it is a genocide story, and so I think that's what attracted me, an absolutely compelling genocide story that's quite shocking and pulls together lots of different things that, you know, people may have heard about or maybe didn't know about. Because Peter is a poet, it also sings, the words sing out. And it's very much the story of the life of a poet. So for those reasons, I think the movie will be interesting, because we haven't had that many movies that have a poet as the protagonist. As Peter tries to work out the mystery of his grandmother's story, but also is going through the 60s and in the 70s, and he himself is becoming an activist. He becomes an activist in the 90s. So the movie is the story of Peter's life, but also the story of how he finds out the truth of what happened to his grandmother.
It's a fascinating book. I've used it for my classes, and it's been a fascinating hour today with Dr. Carla Garabedian. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And for all things Armenian, this is Professor Barlo Dermagerdichian wishing you a good week, and we'll see you next week with a new episode of All Things Armenian.